Fine. Feet works too. Sorry.
I'm trying to think of like the distance when I walk to go get them.
How many streets, like the width of of
About like a
streets
blo like
away?
not a block, but now I'm trying to think of
Like
streets.
the width of a road,
I
right?
want to say maybe 50 feet.
50 feet? Okay.
This is from you with your bow
I'm gonna Google it. Maybe I can
to
find
the
the average
target. And
range.
what is this class of archery that it's called again?
Kudo.
Kudo. And you're learning from an
Dojo.
actual Japanese master in Japan. Hello, everyone. We are live. Welcome to Hell's Vengeance, the Pathfinder First Edition Adventure Path, the Foul Play podcast. I am your host, GM Jeff Ball. And tonight, Frank's in the wind again, but he'll be here to play Garen the Butcher sooner than later, we hope. Congratulations again, obviously, to Ryan Messina, who is Mr. New Dad once again. But I do have more news. If I can draw your attention to the audio, voice, and video of Miss Alexandria Tamlin Ball, say hello.
Hello.
It
How are you?
didn't draw. Oh, there we go. She's got a brand new microphone. She has agreed to not just NPC, but permanently join the Hell's Vengeance Foul Play podcast. Daddy's so proud. Thank you. So when we play, you will be seeing Alex on a permanent basis as a permanent official player when we come back to the show as we cycle it around. Now, I just for funsies, I recently had a little poll. You can do polls on Twitter. And like Star Wars is a given. We're always going to be doing Star Wars, and there's patrons backing it. But as far as Pathfinder is concerned, we have four Pathfinder shows. And not time and new schedules, COVID, everything, to shoot them all the time. We've got to rotate through them. So I asked the internet, where should we put our focus in Pathfinder in the new year? And the choices were Pathfinder Second Edition, Age of Ashes, the Elven Portal podcast, which is really big on YouTube, but not so much in our podcasting world. The Dice Before Dishonor, All Cavalier, The Wharf of the Crown, which is about to finish its first season, going second season. The Man from Osirian, Mummy's Mask, which is halfway through its first season. And this show, which is just really getting going, the Foul Play podcast. And there's about, I think, about 25 people voted, but we were surprised to see that this show got the popular vote. Like, it was number one at 44%, and then Second Edition, and then Dice for Dishonor and Mummy's Mask were like tied with the lower vote. And I just thought that was a fun thing to do. It has nothing to do with certain current elections going on in the world, but the fact that evil is winning out in our vote. Could possibly give one pause looking into 2021. Tonight, returning as his role as the tall, silent type, Tythe, the living grimoire inquisitor, tiefling, Mr. Joe Gibson's in the house.
Hello, hello.
And of course, starring back from well, I gotta say, like, here's a guy that is devoted to my show. Mr. Matt Witt recently had surgery, and the guy is literally kneeling in front of his computer just to play with us. So we're not going to do a doubleheader tonight. We're just going to do the one episode. But
Gotta get my
thank you.
fix, man. Gotta get my fix.
Game fix. Mr. Witt, thank you so much for joining us
It's a pleasure.
this evening. It's more than some other perfectly healthy players are doing, but that's fine. That's fine. Not bitter. Not bitter at all. So I believe I had to cue some battle music because we had not one, but four deputies went stomping off, and you thought they left the area after the sheriff, whom you guys just summarily dismissed. A sheriff, which is directly related to one of our NPC characters, Alex's character, Simri Stalish, her aunt, the ranger, is a sheriff, Ronna Stalish, and she's gone. You don't see her lurking about. Coming around the corner of this building. So looking up from the south is a walkway, another big, I love these decks on these buildings, on these maps, like that everyone just loves that big ponderosa deck. I mean, this stairway is 20 feet wide with the big rail, and the deck is 15 feet deep, and the deck itself goes like 20 feet in one direction, 50 another. There's a freaking couch on this deck, and this is like the jail. I just love these great big, carpentry decks. I think they're fabulous. Bottom left of the map are two pillions. Is that what they're called? Pillars? The old stock and barrel, put the medieval justice where you put your hands and your head through and they throw cabbage and stuff at you. And around the west side of the deck is a big trough for horses. And the building recedes about 5 feet, continues west. And around that corner, lurking, coming around, fanning out, we have the four deputies. And I'm just going to pull up some cards here. And did I have you guys roll for initiative last game? I think I did. Did I not?
Maybe.
Maybe? I know. Terrible, terrible.
I remember turning around a corner, seeing some pups, and then I think we called it.
Okay. That's right. I think I ended up saying, well, roll for initiative. So I'll have you, ladies and gentlemen, roll for initiative now, calling out your rolls, if you please. I will roll for Garion and leave him around the...
Natural 20 for 22.
Not bad. Garion's got 19.
A whopping 5.
8.
All over the place.
Yeah, really. But that's okay. So, starting with Tithe with his 22. these guys forego surprise by coming around and kind of doing the, hey, you know, and they're still babbling about this ain't right or whatever. They fan out in a nice wedge formation and they pull not their clubs, but saps. These guys arm themselves with non-lethal weapons, but they, you know, start marching around on an intercept course that you guys are not barely going to get off this map, though technically you could run for it if you wish. And they're coming at you. They look hostile intent with their little squeaky toy saps for non-lethal damage. How quaint. Tithe, what do you do?
As I'm reading right now. I will cast. I'm going to cast a Flame Strike on myself. Fire Strike. It's a supernatural ability.
Okay. On yourself?
Yeah, well, on my weapon, i.e. my book. Turns it into a flaming weapon, does an extra d4 points of fire damage with each hit.
Okay, and this won't damage the book?
Nope.
Because you are allowed, as per the Inquisitor archetype, to use said book as a weapon.
Yes.
Very cool. So, with some mumbled dark prayers to the
one who rules all.
Can't say his name out loud. You know, you don't want the big pentagram popping up underneath you going, oh, return with to sender. No, ah! You know, so... lots of implication, and the grimoire bursts into flames, readying his weapon. All right. Next up, we have Garion the Butcher, who at the moment just seems distracted because Nico is talking to him, so I will have him hold, which brings us to the actual baddies, or sorry, in this case, your opponent. And as I said, they came up, presented themselves, they called out to you, you guys are like, what? And they march on up. So we go 5, 10, 15, 20... 25, 30, and they just, you know, come up to you. Nope. That's right. You should be leaving. Leave the keys. You know, because you guys are like, are you like walking out here with the loot? Like, does anyone have like a Garion got like the chest full of all the contraband? You know?
Yes.
like money, drugs. Don't forget the Taladian opera porn. Like, that was just still shaking my head over that one. Her Majesty's tea surface and so-and-so's final salute. I mean, come on, that's just too bad and funny. Okay, so it's obvious that you're kind of looting the place. Anyway, they come forth, fan out, and, you know, ready in action. They do a move, they all get their saps out, and they fan out. Get out of here, give us the keys. You're not staying here, this ain't right. See what you do. Nico. Is your turn, sir. What do you do?
5, 10, 15, 20. It's probably going to get me killed. But why not? I'm on pain meds. Move here, walk up to him, facing the first guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying anything. I throw back my cowl on the way.
Reveal the mask. Yeah.
And I am going to cast Burning Hands.
Okay.
15-foot cone in front of me.
All right. I'll take my attack of opportunity.
Sure.
Sorry. He didn't say cast offensively. And you stopped right in front of his nose. So, sorry, dude. Swing. Batter, 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 batter. And a 19.
Plus, well, that hits.
Plus, yeah, 3. So, you come up and, like, you know... And swing and poof. And he does, with my little sap here, he does 1d6 plus 1 non-lethal damage. So you take 4 points of non-lethal. And we actually have, in Fantasy Grounds, you actually have the subdual. So I can put 4 in there. Yep, thank you.
Stun.
Awesome.
Oh,
Garion.
Well, hello. I still have a spell to cast.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, Garion, you were speaking with Nico, and all of a sudden he just goes runs off and starts doing his mumbo jumbo and gets all hit right on the side of the noggin. So hang on. I still need a concentration check. Because you were hit, you need to make a concentration check.
Really?
Yeah.
With divine spells?
Well, your choices are cast defensively and try and pull off the concentration, which is 15 times 2 the spell level, or a spell check, which is only 10, but you got to add the damage and the spell.
All right, so where would I find concentration?
On your character? It should be... the formula. Jeez, it evades me. One second here. It should be under your actions. But yeah. So under actions, where it says Oracle, there's at the right, there's a dice that says CC.
Okay.
Got it?
6. Fail.
Okay. So the little squeaky toy, he whaps it upside the head. You take 4 points of damage and missing the DC of first level spell. So that's 2 of 16.
Yep.
It's funny because that would actually have been lower than you defensively casting. Because 15, 2 times spell level would have been 17. Technically. But he wouldn't have got his attack of opportunity this way. Okay, so you're down hit points. That's not, I guess that's not, it's never a good idea. And you eat the spell.
Garion, destroy!
Simmery.
Well, they seem to be picking on the boys, so I guess we're not going to be playing nicely.
Hmm.
Is it just me, or can you see them? Is the map working?
Yep.
Oh, I'm on the wrong building.
Sorry, please pan to the right.
Yes.
Timrik runs off like over the jump of the page. I'm hiding. Sure. Itself is so awesome. Look at that.
Right. I will. 30 feet. 10,
30, okay.
25, 30. I don't think I can get up on any of them. I'm too far away.
You can double move and end your turn in front of them, but of course that leaves you open. Or if you wish to just 30 foot and pull a weapon, you know, that kind of thing.
30,
or run. 40, run, Forrest, run.
50, 55, 60. I'm going to just come around the thingers, around the stockades, and come up behind.
So,
flanking.
Yeah, not so south. Double move, come around. Very good. Solid, solid road tactic. Not too shabby. Which brings us to Garion the Butcher. Frank Hamilton's in the house.
Yay. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yay.
Frank.
All right.
Long story short, we fired the sheriff and took their loot. You're carrying a chest full of contraband of drugs and porn and all kinds. And I do mean like Taladian naughty plays. And the deputies left, but now they're just not having it. And they try to ambush you, but their ambush is kind of like they head around the corner, wait for you guys to come out. Now they're just confronting you with their little non-lethal saps. Nico, who was your handler in Professor Niles' absence, was speaking with you. And also he ran off, cast a spell, ate it, got hit inside the head. And now combat looks like it's going to ensue because your new best friend, Nico, wishes you to... What was the line there, Nico?
Garion, destroy!
All right, so with chest in hand, I'm going to go ahead and drop that.
Okay.
Then while moving, I will draw my weapon.
Okay, which is?
It is a greatsword.
Okay.
A great big greatsword.
Yep. 30 feet will put you right beside Nico if you want.
And I will move to there.
Okay.
And cool. Then I will rage, and then I will power attack.
Is Rage a swift action in first edition, or... Can't remember.
Excuse me. Rage is a no action. It's just a modifier.
Okay.
You just... Or no, it's a swift.
Sorry. Yeah, so it doesn't really cost you.
Nope.
Okay.
All right.
I'm assuming your target is the guy adjacent, or do you have reach? Because you have reach, do you not?
I do not have reach. No, oh, okay. I'm considered medium-sized, but I can wield large-sized weapons.
Okay.
Oh, I totally forgot to target him.
It's okay. This is Homebrew. This is sponsored. Once again, shout out, thank you to Devin Knight for the use of his minis, but Fantasy Grounds, who we owe a lot to, has been doing second edition and most of first edition games, but they haven't released this. So I've been cutting and pasting, and so I don't have all the mechanics down. So rolling my evil dice, and you know, you just let me know.
All right, so does an 18 hit?
Yes. Ooh, hit points on paper. It's been so long. Excuse me while I... And you used to be alive, and you used to be alive. Continue.
Not great damage. 15 points.
Dude that sapped me is a smear.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Just runs up.
You managed. He goes down. You open him up. Now he doesn't. You know he's not slain on the spot. You didn't get negative 10 or negative his con or whatever. But he is into the negatives, and he goes down. So the guy right in front of Nico falls to his knees and face first. Anything else, Mr. Butcher?
No, I think I'm done.
Okay. The guy, remember how I said, you know, they all come up to ready in action? They don't have a ranged weapon, and their ready was something I really can't do at this time. So they're just going to, unfortunately, they're going to have to eat the round, which brings us back to Tithe and his flaming holy book.
Yay.
Nice flavor, by the way, Gibson. Thank you. I like that. It says book, holy book weapon on fire. And
yeah. I will move.
All right.
30 feet.
Okay.
To my left, and I'll be attacking the one on my corner.
Okay.
North-ish. One I can reach.
Yes, the adjacent.
I'm getting there. Actions.
These guys have fanned out sort of a leaning arc from south up to the east, and we have Gary and Aniko engaging the top guy. We have Tithe gone slide down the middle, engaging the second last. And then we have Simri, who's slipping around and lining up something. So what do you got there?
Does a 12 hit?
No. Unless you have a bonus. Do you have a bonus on that flame to hit, or is it just damage?
I have damage.
Okay. So close.
Yeah, I'm walking to first level. What's that? Okay. I'm done.
All right. And next we have them. So, no real stealth involved. Simri did full moves. She didn't cut her movement half and try to, like, you know, no buff, no direction. They came out. They spot the four of you. And she does go wide, but, you know, they are paying attention. So this one guy tracking her turns, sees that you're involved with his buddy, and, like, cover me. And he goes, steps away from the pack to engage Simri. This guy here takes a 5-foot step south. Oh, look, the deputy's working tandem. Some light training. Isn't that cute? Moves south to cover his buddy's back and will engage Tithe. This guy goes down. So I'll just move him over to the trough here for a second. Or, you know, his butt. Okay. Not complete awesome training, because these guys are, like, just looking at the guy next to him going, cover me. And the guy's the top. One guy goes down in a split second. I go, cover them. Cover me. And he steps up and just wildly comes at Gary and with his little sap. 5-foot step corner. Oh, you know what? I can't do that. That is not a friendly that I'm moving through. That is difficult terrain. So I can't legally do that. Oh my. So now I have to move south of square into Tithe's threatening zone. And as I exit said square, Tithe, attack of opportunity, if you wish. So the guy moves through your threatened squares.
I do.
Okay.
I'm getting it.
I'm getting there. Click,
click, click. All right, does the 17 hit?
Yes. Okay. Get him on the backswing.
All right, so.
So, just so we're clear, the difficult terrain was basically the body. If I drop a body in a square, I consider that square difficult terrain, friend or foe, because they're literally something you could fall over. Some meaner DMs would just be like, and you fall over the body because you thought it was there. So it's like, no, you drop guys, and, you know. So always kill moving backwards and leave, you know, thumbtacks and terrain. So, sorry, okay. Tithe.
So, 6 points of damage and 4 points of fire damage.
Oh, wow. All
right. And you thought I was the dangerous one.
Yes. Now, fire is in, like, heat damage, or can you actually set someone aflame with this?
I will tell you one second.
Okay. So, while he's looking that up, this guy's turn moves in, and I will roll for these guys attacking you guys. So, let's start with the one that's turned on Simri. Coming at Simri with a 14-3 is 17. Simri?
I'm going to wager a guess and say probably.
Probably.
You bugger by one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Haha. And he's upset. How you do that, to dare do that to your auntie, girl? You had this coming. You get a whooping. And it makes like the little squeaky toy noises as it bashes you in the shoulder. And you take 5 points of non-lethal damage, which I shall stick on your character there. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Way to be prepared. Simri is always ready for everything. And squeak. Can't believe you just pulled that out of thin air. That's awesome. Next, we have the guy that's attacking Tithe. Watch you attack his companion, and taking advantage of the opportunity, he steps in, but with a terrible 7, misses you because you slide, lean for that swing, and his attack whistles harmlessly past the side of you. And last but not least, a 22 to hit Big Garion. What's that, Garion?
I was muted. My armor class is 13 right now.
Oh, okay. So you're a big guy, and he whacks you like right in the gut. Alex, if you please. Right in the nads. Thank you. For 5 points of non-lethal damage. And then you just take it, and he slowly looks up, like with this scared, apologetic look in his face. Like he immediately regrets this decision. Because in these seconds, right, Garion is raging. He's just turning purple, and I ran in to attack, hit him, and then get a good look at his face, and the guy's going into a rage. He thinks it's his fault, right? Nico. Nico. What do you got for us, Nico?
Fools. All of you. So because that guy's adjacent to me, I'm going to 5 foot step. Is beside the trough. Right here, like, would you consider that difficult terrain at all?
Well, the problem is because you're crossing over the train's corner, like my guy tried to, you have to go up and around, so.
All right, then I'll just 5 foot step back.
Okay.
And.
Now, he is adjacent to you on the corner. Like, you are allowed to attack the guy with no penalty because neither one of you is standing in said terrain.
Nikolai does not attack.
Okay.
He's got an innate -4 to attack rolls because of his withered trait. So I will instead cast. Inflict pain.
Okay. So if we took the mask off, you actually are withered up?
My arms are. Not my face.
Oh, okay. You don't even have like that cool thing that comes up the shoulder and peaks up the neck. Is your condition encroaching upon your health consistently?
It should work. Why didn't it work?
What do you got?
You
can't target these minis because they're not in the system, so.
Oh.
That's what I was telling Frank. So tell me what you're doing.
So I'm inflicting pain upon him.
This is a spell, an innate ability?
Yeah, it's a spell.
Okay.
Inflict pain surrounds your hand with a dull red glow, allowing you to send blindingly hot pinpricks through your target's body. This deals 2d6 points of non-lethal damage plus 1 point per caster level, and the target suffers a -1 penalty to attack rolls, skill checks, and ability checks for 1 minute.
Okay. Is this a touch attack?
No, it is ranged, 25 feet.
Okay.
Plus 5 feet every 2 levels. Saving throw is DC 15, fortitude partial.
Okay. Let's see here. 7 to 4 is 11.
That is a fail.
Fail. What happened now? Do tell.
He takes 7 points of, or 8 points of non, oh no, plus 1 per level. That should be 8 points of, non-lethal damage, and he suffers -1 penalty to attack, roll, skill checks, and ability checks for the next 10 rounds.
Negative which?
How negative much? One.
Negative one, okay.
Yeah.
All right, and he took 8 points. All right. Good to know. Anything else, sir? Step back.
No, yes, actually, I am going to activate my Cloak of Darkness.
Is that a swift?
That is a... I don't know if it says. It doesn't say. It's a class feature.
I'm thinking that might be a move action, depending on how powerful it is.
Well, the spell is a single action, 5 foot step. I should have an action.
What's the name of the power? I'll look it up real quick.
It's called Cloak of Darkness.
Okay, I'll move to Simri, and we'll see if that poofs up while we're, you know, in stasis. So, Simri, you're up. What do you want to do?
Am I allowed to look around? And see if there is a crowd Are people observing us doing this?
Okay, so for free, like ambient perception, I could say no. If you want to be certain to make sure like no one's hiding, observing, that kind of thing, then I'll take a perception check, and that will cost you an action.
Oh, sneaky hidey people can be taken care of later. If there is no evident crowd, we make it to new.
There is no evident crowd. Now, are you standing up on the corner of that palace?
No, I'm just around the side.
Okay, because it takes up most of the square. This is not a difficult terrain thing. This is a, you know, this could be a height advantage thing.
Yeah, I mean, I could have snuck around. And
so give me a retro climb or acrobatic check. The DC will be relatively low.
Oh, fuck. 9.
Don't worry, the DC's like 5. Like I said, it itself is not very high. You can just kind of hop, kind of thing. Yeah. However, because you took a double, did you take a double move just to get to that position? Did you have any movement left? Okay. So now you, you know, hoist yourself up there. Ha! That's the bad news. It burns a move action. The perception for free. You'd no evident crowd. You have an action left to attack whatever you wish, but you get a +1 for high ground.
Excellent. I stab at you.
Okay. You have yet to pull a weapon. You guys weren't walking around armed. Garion drew his sword, dropped his chest. Nico started casting spells. Tithe. Now you can... Oh, actually, no, sorry. You did a double move. You're allowed to draw weapons whilst moving as long as you have a base attack of +1 or higher. So let's just quickly look at you. You should, because your NPC is actually... I think you're actually a second level character. Your base attack.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
My base attack is +3.
Well, she's a ride-along NPC.
Oh, I know. I'm just giving you a
time. Okay. So you're good. So what weapon, like I said, just
I'm the leader, Frank.
Just
yeah, no kidding.
I'll be kind for later recompense of like, come on, guys, give me a break. Slipping a weapon as you strode along there, what do you got in your hand?
A dagger.
Okay. Stabby.
Stab at you.
It's Yondel time.
Oh. Okay, I clicked that more than once. My apologies.
That's okay. 2019 both hit, so either one, you're good. Oh.
Excellent.
Oh, no, your dagger possibly crits on an 18 or higher, so sorry. Okay. Because you could have took that as a confirmation. You do hit him.
Okay.
Now, were we going for the non-lethal? You know, the whole hilt to the...
Yeah. Okay. I will be non-lethal for now.
Okay. Now, lucky for you, non-lethal weapon use for a weapon that is not supposed to is a -4 penalty. However, a 16 still hits him. So flipping the dagger at the last second, because he mentions your aunt, the guilt sets in. Whap! And you can go full damage, but it is non-lethal to the guy. So
you don't know my life!
You don't know me! Yes, D4, plus any strength bonuses you have.
Sorry, I'm still a little new to the fantasy grounds.
No problem. If you just pick up a D4 right off the board there and toss it into the chat.
Ah. No, into the chat.
One! And one for strength, so that's 2. Now, next time, at the very bottom left, you see modifier, you can put in the little +1, and I'll give it to you later. So, 2 points. Whap him. And that has been recorded for prosperity. Bash. He closes one eye. Little blood gush. And he doesn't move or go down, but, you know, he looks unhappy with you, Garion. First, though, getting back in time, Nico, Frank, what did you find out about that power for us?
So I posted a link there, and that's from the PFSRD website.
Okay.
It doesn't say, so generally, Pathfinder 1 rule of thumb is if it doesn't say, it's a standard.
Okay, so I didn't do that then.
Okay. And yeah, it would probably have, like, as soon as you describe us the fact, it would probably be big enough that I would probably say that's at least a move, if not a standard. So that's okay. But you have next round. Now, back to Garion. And his butchery.
Well, I am understandably displeased that somebody hit me. So I will.
I could see that. Do you have any all up in your head for us?
No. Just continue to froth at the mouth. Try to run his great sword right through the guy. Does a 19 hit?
Yes, it does.
21 points of damage.
And
dude!
This is the guy that Tithe just backhanded, right?
And I inflicted pain upon.
He is dead.
That guy is super dead.
Oh, really, he might have already been down, actually. I don't know how it works in first edition for getting non-lethal damage on top of lethal.
You know what? I think I accidentally screwed up because I think I gave Joe's guy in front of him and you backhanded somebody. So he had three left before you had Adam. So he's unconscious. So sorry, Gary, and the guy in front of you,
mm-hmm.
he hits you and then Nico goes and his eyes roll back in his head and he jerks in pain and falls at your feet before it's your turn. So the two guys in front of you are actually down. If you wish to step over and continue the fight with the next two opponents, feel free. I'll even let you keep your rolls.
I'll stab him anyway.
Oh, okay. Would you like to take a full round action standing there to coup de grace the helpless dude?
I think 21 points if he's unconscious is pretty close to coup de grace. Oh, he's just going to drive his sword like through him and into the ground, give it a quick little turn, okay. and then step over him, 5, 10, 15, 20, to okay. there. Right. Look that guy dead in the eye. I'm killing you next!
As you step up, the last square is threatened by him. Yep. And as you come, he's focused on Tithe, misses the stab. And as you suddenly come up in his peripheral and move past him, he, you know, reflectively reaches out and takes a whack at you with a 12.
Oh my God, he misses.
Oh, wow. And there you are, intimidating as you are. And all right. So, not going for the coup de grace, not full round actioning, just taking the plus 4, 19 becomes, you know, really high, take 21 points. It's fine. Just go with the damage,
That kind of focus is kind of beyond him at this point. He just chops
and... I appreciate the flavor. You're keeping your dice rolls, you know, that's cool. So, the guy in front of you, like, if you really calculate this, he took 8 points of damage, 5-0, and then takes another 21. Well, you know what? You can just wait and see if he gets back up, or if, you know, everyone wants to kneel down and pull off their sunglasses to do a heel check, you can, you know, determine if he survived that. But for right now...
And Nico's just standing back there watching this unfold. Yes, Gary, destroy!
Party unleashed. Tithe.
All right. I will... One in front of me.
Yep. Take a whack with the flaming book of...
Take a whack with the flaming book of hell. Okay.
I just assumed...
Oh, no. No, it's five.
Just, you know, the flames start spreading up your hands. Crap. Oh, no. Wait a minute. No, I'm assuming you are unharmed.
Yeah, it's just...
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the best part. Okay. You hit a guy with a flaming book in the back. He runs up, hits Gary in the nads, right? All this stuff happens to him. He goes down, and as he falls... Right, Garion drives his sword, gives it a little flick, and it's just enough to kind of moat the flame on the cloth that's around his armor, and he just kind of like, oof, there's like this little corner flame on the bottom of his t-shirt, like, starts spreading up the body. Because of you, Tithe, because of you.
It doesn't work that way.
Fine, still perfectly good flavor. These guys... I'm going to take a free 5-foot step back as I'm almost cornered. And they, you know, real time catches up to them. Okay. Well, the funny thing is, okay, I love when they script bad guys because then you always have players going, I did this. Shouldn't they do this? Shouldn't they run? Shouldn't they dot? Right? They usually have, you know, now you got to be. Ad lib, you know, there's not all circumstances are taken, but it specifically says if any of the deputies are killed or knocked unconscious, we attempt to collect their bodies and escape. If prevented from fleeing, deputies surrender once two or number of their slain are debilitated. So one guy goes down, we're reevaluating, and you guys swoop in on your turn so quickly, we don't have time to process, like, we should run. You know, three guys running, grabbing the guy and going. No, two are down. These guys throw down their weapons and go, they surrender. They throw down their weapons in front of you, Gary and Tithe. The guy steps back and throws down his weapon and says, no, don't kill us. You know, we were just trying to, you know, we're just unhappy. You know, don't kill us, right? Anyway, he bumps into his buddy who's fighting Simmery, waving her, you know, he's still kind of holding his forehead, and he glances back and sees what's going on. Two guys are down, and he's like, yeah. He'll take a 5-foot step out, away from Simmery, and throw down weapon. That is what they're doing on their turn. Isn't that cute? Nikolai, I believe you were mid-manacle laughter.
Yes, I was. I'm having so much fun. Inflict pain.
Okay.
On the one who took the step away from Simmery.
Yeah, the one that's in front of Garion, 10 feet away.
Yeah.
On the edge of your peripheral, yeah.
Yeah. So you need a DC 15 to have the damage.
Okay.
Fortitude.
That is really looking strange on this evil dice. It looks like an S. Either way, 5 or 7, though, plus my bonus, I believe he fails, so... He just so starts...
Nine points of non-lethal damage.
He just starts yelling and looking at his hand like he can't believe that head wound from Simmery suddenly hurts his entire body. Unable to process, and takes how much?
9 points of non-lethal.
9 points of non-lethal.
Yeah.
All right.
2d6 plus 1 per level.
Okay, he's still standing, but he is yelling and is in bad shape. Simmery.
Did we find the keys to the stockades?
Possibly. If you didn't find in the room, chances are that the deputies or, you know, Stalis herself has them.
I believe he said she left everything.
Yes, but they specifically mention a key for something that's on, you know, not there. So, I can take a moment, but if the answer's yes, if the answer's no, while I'm looking this up.
Simmery would suggest that we lock up the two that aren't bleeding out and drag the ones that are bleeding out back inside before anyone notices and we get a riot on our hands. You can continue to play with them later.
Okay. Garion.
Well, someone screaming in pain surely going to catch my attention.
Okay.
Yeah! 5
and,
step.
And Simmery starts. Guys, we really should... She's just... Mid-rage. Oh,
does
God.
What is 26?
What is a natural 18? Like, is it a natural 20 to crit on the greatsword?
No, it's 19-20.
Okay, good.
Missed it by that much.
That much. Okay.
22 points.
Oh, jeez.
Dude!
He literally, again, with the top of the shoulder straight down to the hip, and the top half of the guy just slides off the bottom half, and the hips and the legs are twitching from Nico's pain, remain in place. The dude cleaves him in twain as he hits negative 20 hit points, and the guy just cuts him in half.
Garion screams in laughter.
Round 5, Ooh. Tithe. Ooh,
it's
that was a good
fun
one.
Now.
That was awesome.
Or not.
Dude. Or not.
Or not, Tithe. Yes. I'll take a 5-foot step. Works.
The guy's like, no. He sees his, yeah, he turns over, he sees what happens to his buddy. You know, you step up. Tight for the finishing move.
Natural 20.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Natural 20. And guess what? AC is 13. He confirms the crit.
I confirm the crit. Yeah.
No escape.
Hold on. I'm having
nice.
Fun here.
Oh. What'd you get? It automatically did the damage
we are
for you.
And so destructive.
So 14 for normal damage and 6 of fire.
Okay, so when you do a crit on a weapon, you double the physical damage, you do not double the magical damage.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay. 2 then. Okay. So 14 and 2.
Okay.
Aw, only 16.
Only 16 from a book.
Okay.
The big book.
He, now I'm not saying that some backwater towns in Chaliax at a little rundown might be a little loose in the law, and maybe somebody had like a little bit too much to drink today. I'm not saying that. Drinking on duty. Nothing against any fantasy or real police force. But digging deep into imagination for a crit, he catches the man in the jaw and it wedges in his mouth. And with an evil grin, just tighten his grip on the grimoire, the flames well up into the guy's face and his alcoholic breath causes his head to catch fire. And he goes down the top of his head, a burnt husk. Our turn. The first guy that went down continues to bleed out a point. Everybody else, well, Nico.
So the first guy that went down also happens to be the guy that hit me?
Yeah, he's the guy that it made you eat your spell.
All right, I'll coup de grace.
Okay.
Get down on my hands and knees, grab the guy by the shoulders, hold his head over. And...
Oh, dude's having a snack. I could say this one's still warm.
Not dead yet.
Now, do you have the damper feats that boost you when you partake of the special homemade wine?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, so this is just personal now.
Yep.
All right. Simmery, you are starting to see even more about what your strangers in a tavern are capable of. The brutality of the large barbarian, the cool, quiet, deadly efficiency of the steamrolling cleric and his fire, and the finesse, sneaky, underhanded viciousness of the man with the mask. Boy, do you miss the quiet, chilling, creepy doctor. What's your turn? What do you do? I will rule this town.
Obviously, Simri's dealt with conflicting emotions throughout the last little while. And she's probably going to have to sit on this tonight and debate her further courses of actions with regards to being part of this party.
Life choices.
Yep. Everything has consequences.
Well, as long as we're all up in your brain, there is one thing I can tell you. Tell the audience if, you know, because the DM's allowed to meta and the player is not. Simri is a woman of conviction, and she vowed to do anything to get out of this town. Now, it's not like hit the road with $5, because getting out of a town could also mean moving your way up the social ladder, gaining power, and then moving on with said power. If you want to get out of a town, it's probably because you dislike it. And Simri has been so determined, her dislike somewhere along the road might have turned to hate. If you hate a town, you could leave it, or you could stay and make it suffer. We shall see. We shall see. Garion, your turn.
Garion drops his sword, drops out of rage, catches his breath, reaches down, picks up the half of the twitching corpse. Garion, kill you good! And just kind of shaking him.
He's talking to, like, the legs. He picked up the wrong half.
Garion, kill you good!
And I'm going to end the battle music.
Nikolai steps up, grabs a handkerchief from his pocket, starts wiping the blood off. Okay. That's like, over.
Is this why your ascot was like the removable tissues? Because you get blood on the top one, you just pull it away and there's fresh ascot?
Yep.
Awesome.
And just turns and looks at them casually and says, "We must dispose of the bodies. Simri, do you know of a suitable location?"
She looks around. Anyone in the immediate vicinity?
Nope.
Excellent. We can take our time then. I'm going to roll a knowledge local and see if she can think of...
Yep. I got a perfect spot for you. You hit that roll.
23.
The tannery. Those open, festering pits of poop and pee. No one's going to go digging in there for a body. And the place is already a crime scene. It's a hike out of town. You may have to go through a gate, but...
We should find a cart.
Yeah. This might be a night run, so if you can stash the body somewhere till nightfall...
I want to say that was like 2 days ago, but that was just like last night, wasn't it?
Night before last.
Yeah, night before last. Yeah, it's been quite a weekend, Simri. Good for you. It's time to go get paid. So what do you guys want to do with the bodies for right now? This is interesting, because usually heroes are like, "Oh, let the goms rot," right? Like, we're doing an evil campaign. It's like, so what do you do with the bodies? No,
immediately,
not...
we can move them into the lockers.
Just smash them into the lockers, close there them up, is... lock us. No
Until
one's
we
coming.
Find a cart.
No there... one's coming as far as we know.
Well, considering one of these men have been cut in half, there is a lot of blood on the ground. Not to mention you're like having a big snack there.
And there's a water trough.
Then there's
just
like
knock over the trough.
Put them in the water trough.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. Garion, there's a 10-foot water trough. You could just drag that over and dump it on the grass and dissipate the blood, sure.
Did I hear there was places to store bodies inside?
Yeah. So if you look at your map there, do you see the table of four chairs?
Uh-huh.
Above it are cabinets that you guys found weapons and all kinds of stuff.
Oh. Garion reaches back behind him, pulls out what would normally be a short sword, but is a giant cleaver.
Oh, God.
I butcher good. Chop.
Okay.
Chop.
So here we are just out in front of the jail. Like, it just happened.
Tables inside, Garion.
But the thing is, like you ever seen, like, a meat room in a grocery store? Like, if you guys make a huge mess in there, it's going to be very difficult to clean up.
Fair enough. We have the water trough here.
It is best to clean kills outside. Blood get everywhere.
Garion. This is not the place to do this. Mm-hmm. Trust me, you are making more of a mess than we need to. And it's easier to move in big pieces, is it not?
What about behind the building?
That would be a start, yeah.
Looks
Cover
at
the
knife.
Bodies. Bring them to the back. We can do it there.
Puts it away, all dirty and gross.
Fine.
Grabs up two corpses and begins dragging them.
All right. I'm going to get out my old percentage dice. Some missing deputies that would have skipped town. If you guys drop one guy, they just scoop up and skip town. Like, they just vanish. They're going to be gone now. A little of the old percentage.
See, we are not playing a good campaign here, Jeff.
No, I know. I just thought it was fun to point out. Like, so many people were interested. I think would it be? I know it's kind of meta, like not just to let the story roll and kind of backtrack, going, "This is what would have happened." But just for now, you know, like because a lot of DMs are probably interested in how this is written. You know, I just think it's funny that even if you guys hadn't killed them, they would have scooped up their injured one friend and beat town, which I thought was hilarious. But no, I will not consistently roll back time and reveal everything. That would take away from the fun from DM and people like, that want to play this.
Nikolai has just been so reserved for so long.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Like, he's just
you haven't chowed down since we did the playtest and footage that we haven't really released or buried or whatever. So, yeah, that's... okay. So, luckily, no one seems to happen by. You guys take the bodies around the back corner here. You know, get Gary in a little corner to work. See that the big niche in the back of the building there, right? Just back.
I see that there.
Back yeah, just corner. Around the first corner, right? It's facing, you know, away. I guess we could pull up the old map of Longacre, and you know, with your trough to like spread around, you guys, you know, just put the time in, and as long as you don't get spotted,
I'd say it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
Nikolai would focus on. Leaving no trace, that's kind of the thing, you know.
Well, Nikolai can drink his fill. That would keep the mess factor down, I suppose. Also, we have somebody that could literally burn the bodies. Like, the book's still going here. You guys have got two, you know what I mean? Like, there are options in the evil
or
world.
Nikolai would be absolutely down for that. He'd be like, yes, burn them.
Yep. Let's have a nice little campfire, and then this is gritty. And, you know, Simri, maybe you don't want to, like, just, like, leave them to it and go inside and make your next plan or burn it into your mind going, this is my choice. This is what I've chosen. Anyway, I'm going to pull up the map of Longacre because the actual sheriff yield. Here we go. Come on. Oop. You guys seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So going to, let me just double check my written map. Because I want to make sure the back of the building isn't just like a road. You know, you guys are like, we'll go around the back and there's the people going by the grocery store going, hey, how's it going? How are you? Oh, are you having an open market? What are you butchering? You got a calf there? Oh my God, that's Floyd. You know, like, we're got to make sure before night falls and we can just get rid of the bodies all
together. Gary just shrugs, long pig.
Pig with like toes. Those are my boots. I loaned Floyd. You should... Cosplayer. All right. Now, don't forget, like, you guys have completed the mission. Like, your mission was post four postings and fire Stalish, so you guys are free to return to the tea house whenever you wish to demand or ask nicely for your payment that was promised you. Let's not forget about that. Now, whether you want to do that late tonight after you get rid of the bodies or, you know, you guys want to hang out here and go through the loot, what are you guys down for?
Well, Gary and go through loot immediately.
Okay.
He's power hungry. Want things, stuff, shiny.
All right. So, as in last episode that you missed, they found potions, weapons, some drugs like Pesh, and they found these a voucher for a halfling slave.
Garion wants that.
Okay. No, I don't think anyone's really claimed that.
Oh, that's so awesome.
A collection of
Garion's
seven
halfling slave.
Don't know where he is. This is just like, this is not like he's here, but the his ownership writ is written in, you know. Yeah. I almost forgot. Garion, a masterwork bronze sizor. You know, like the big cup mitt with the curve coming out of it. They use in gladiator rings. Yeah. Masterwork, dude.
Masterwork.
A wand, sizor.
And I'll take the wand for sure.
The sizor is decorated with a sculpted skeletal lion. We found some posts, things that we thought might be poison or drugs, and a collection of 17 pornographic Taldarian kortos containing scripts for two performed plays, including Her Highness's Tea Service and the Guardsman's Final Salute. Nico claimed those pretty quick. You guys had seven skull-shaped onyxes that no one's appraised yet. A pouch containing 10 platinum, and a bill of ownership for halfling male, 20 years, service trained, missing toe on left foot, responds to the name Winston. I mean, Arden. Sorry. So, yeah, let's talk about the loot if you guys are going to camp out. Is there any, if are you guys going to haggle or claim, like, you know, Garion's interested, one's interested in the plays, one's interested in the halfling. I think we were passing out the skulls. I know Simri scooped the money. The Tithe was given the poison to, you know, evaluate and hasn't given it back yet. And the drugs. And then everything was like, oh, or we could just keep it in this chest and Garion was toting it around. But not before they made you put down that big couch that you were lifting. You almost picked up a couch and threw it at people.
The couch.
The couch on the porch. Yeah. So, you know, that's where we're at. So some finite party treasure, you know, is there, if anyone wants to lay claim, like speak now, we can do the haggling
I'll
later.
I'll take the wand.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you mentioned it last time. Garion's
the wand, the wand and the porn.
Okay. Simri?
Yeah. Some of the skulls and
cash.
There was obviously no money in this chest when we opened it.
Obviously. Nice little sleight of hand, a pouch containing 10 platinum pieces, but you pull out the bill of ownership, wave it at them, go, this is all you think of my pouch. And the hand, you know, sleight of hand, right? Can I have said sleight of hand check if you're going to pull this crap off right in front of your...
Yes. I want some platinum.
It's not these two crazy mothers. It's Tithe I'm worried about. Dude is always, like, standing 10 feet away from you guys, always watching. He looks like he's reading his book, but, you know.
Yeah, always watching.
Always watching. You also got to remember, Tithe did go on your first mission. After you guys performed the first mission, he was given to you by Rizlargo. And even and though that, he's been sort of like your wingman for this mission, you know.
I didn't would have been a 20.
It. Okay.
I didn't see it.
Then Nico with his 15. Yeah. Anybody? No?
Sure, I'll roll this.
Yeah. But... Well, this is a classic, right? The rogue of the party tries to pocket party money on the side. Who saw it? Who, you know, gets upset? Where's the paladin? Nope.
Y'all saw nothing.
Nothing. 10 whole platinum pieces all for you, which is technically 100 gold.
The skulls?
Yeah. Do you guys want to praise them?
Can anybody appraise them here?
It's a free skill. Everyone has appraise. I mean, some of you might be good at it, but I'm just saying, like...
14.
Okay.
Garion looks at him. Worthless.
11.
Simmery.
11.
You would guess that they're worth over 20 gold each. It's not an exact number, but, you know, with that much, you know, without telling you exactly, you know they're worth more than 20 gold a piece. There's like 7 of them.
I'll divvy them up.
Okay.
There's
5 of you.
Are there?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming you're gonna save. Are we saving any for Niles, or he bailed on this mission? Yeah, you didn't do
he
this
wasn't
mission.
Here.
That's right. He bailed on the whole mission. You don't get. Oh, that's a skull. No, he stepped out for his own personal interest. Now you guys had several mini missions. This one mission, you know, he gets Jack. That's cool.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's fine. He'll be back, Jack. But for today,
I don't owe him anything. Does anybody here owe him anything?
Sell the last two and divide the.
No, two each, right? The 5 of us, or I guess it's just 4 of us here, right?
Yeah, but there's 7, not 8. So someone's going to be shorthanded.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take 3.
I'll take 1. I'm not arguing with the giant.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me have this one. And he starts reaching for it.
That still leaves 3 that
Nicole.
They start like completely evil, right? No one's looking. You
everybody
guys are
gets 2.
They're all doing Nikolai rock, paper, 3. Scissors.
Garion said he took 3, and then Tice said he took 1, well, so that leaves 3 that leaves between 3. You and I, Nikolai.
No, he didn't have them. I appraised them. I'm divvying them out. Thank you very much. Garion, nice try.
Everyone
unless
rolled,
you want
rolled,
to
like
wrest them
over.
From me, which you totally can. But yeah. So I divvy them out. 2, 2, 2.
Holes
I keep
in your
the last one for myself.
There, Dan,
all right. Well, then you get 2. All right. Combat is its own reward. Isn't that right, Nico?
Yeah, I got my meal. So like I said, 2, 2, 2, and then I keep the last one.
All right. So shall we return and talk to good old Rizlargo at the Ash House, get our other reward?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yark. Money.
Yes. Returning on the outskirts of town to the Ash House. Simri takes you guys back out there, and I'm assuming we're after we divvy up with Rizlargo when night falls that you guys are going to head back and, you know, grabbeth the bodyeths. Unless you want to leave somebody here to guard the jail and make sure no one discovers. Because right now you guys have them stuffed in the closet and the place sits there empty.
Well, we could lock the jail up.
I will tell you that you guys do
find...
light
it on fire.
You guys do find keys on the bodies. And that would be for, you know, the cell, the Pallards, and those cupboards that you guys smashed. So now you guys have keys to, like, the whole place. You can lock the front door.
Yeah, lock it up.
Okay.
And then burn it.
Yeah, I got a new base.
Set it on fire.
What? What?
Nikolai will never argue with burning things, so probably don't suggest it to him.
Well, Simri declared that sheriff is her new job, right? We had the boots up thing. So as you guys are like walking away and she's out front doing the final seven leading you and the place blows up and you guys are like digging it, she's just like, you could just see the rage on her face, like, got some perfect face ball. No, seriously, do you guys torch this place?
No.
Not
yet, anyway.
It would save a trip to the tannery. They died in a fire.
They weren't here when we left. I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You guys want to loot the place, leave the bodies in there?
Yep.
Perhaps someone may scrutinize.
Nikolai thinks this is the best idea anyone's come up with
all
day.
It's excellent on-site location we could use as headquarters instead of constantly trying to get back into town and dealing with the annoying gate guards.
Mm. The Ash House is a rundown piece of crap. I mean, this is a solid building, but it's up to you dudes. You know, like,
if she objects, I'd say no, because it does have strategic importance.
I
especially
mean,
if what we've been contracted to do so far continues, you know what I mean?
No, if Messina were here, you know, he'd be doing the dog between the two owners. Only this time I think it's Tithe where he's like looking at the yes and the book emotes in flames. And
like
then you say no, and he puts
much.
It back and forth. All right. Garion, you have we all weigh in on the arson? Yes, no?
Yeah, fire just cooks things.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Okay. So
you boys want a bonfire. We can just take them outside of town and have one.
Excellent, excellent.
Oh, I was putting forth arson covering the, you know. And again, heavy-handed on DM is my part. I shouldn't fail you guys, but... I'm finding it hard. I'm watching you guys, the wheels turn. It's kind of hard to be evil. You just, these ideas just don't come to you like when you're playing good guys, right? Oh, well, just a little arson cover the body, you know? So yeah, there's a little bit of spoon feeding in the first couple episodes, but trust me, when we play again,
I'm not going to lie. I like the idea of having this place in town for us to be like, hey, we can just go hang out there. We've got the keys.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to break into it, Blaze. It is the sheriff's office.
All right.
Garion was just looking at one and how many meals is here.
All right. So fast forward, cut to the upstairs office. The screen, you know, he's not there. However, you find a note for you. Simri?
I will read the note.
Okay. We'll do Rizlagro's voice, you know. He excuses his absence. He seems to know somehow that you were successful in your mission. He notes that he is pleased, and because of his appreciation for you performing three full tasks for him, the raid on the tannery, the making yourselves known at the, you know, the church, and this, has two rewards for you. First, he's increased the payment he offered you by half. As before, it's waiting in the parlor below. Second, he invites you to meet him at the Scarlet Crown, a manor, the manor of Archbaron Darlis Fex himself, at dawn the next day.
No drinking tonight, boys.
Mm-hmm. Heading downstairs, we find the chest that was once on the table has, you know, been kind of hidden in case somebody walked through here, but not so cleverly hidden. And examining its contents, once again, we find several crimson pouches, one for each of you, each containing 150 gold. You guys get 1,200 XP for posting all of the decrees and relieving Stalish of duty, split amongst you. So there's four of you, that's, you know, a couple hundred each.
You said 1,500 gold each?
Yeah. No, 150 gold, 1,200 XP to be split between you guys. And Simri, the second reward in itself is the introduction to the Baron, the Archbaron. You know, just being part a chance to be part of that man's circle or work for him through Oslargo is a big step up for anyone.
Why we can't have hangovers the next morning.
Exactly. So that evening, no drinking, thieves in the night. We steal away back to the jailhouse and head out to the tannery where we drop 1, 2, 3, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. We drop the body parts in the tannery boils.
No objections.
All right. And you head back to rest where? Crash here in the house at the tannery with the smells. Head back to the jailhouse headquarters, pull up a chair, or back to the dilapidated living room parlor of the ash house.
For sure.
Okay.
You like the ambience?
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I have had fun. But I got to say, even DMing this is a bit of an obscure challenge. I'll try to behave myself. I think the players, and especially Alex, coming forth doing a cameo for us, did a great job. And she has agreed, as I said at the beginning of the episode, she's bought her own microphone to permanently join this cast for the Foul Play podcast. And we will see you again in the future. Not tomorrow, not next week, not for a couple months. But this show will revive sooner or later because it's time for evil to prevail. And we will see you next time. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.